In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Galatians chapter 3. Paul writes, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the one who by faith is righteous will live. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from this curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary." Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. "Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Paul is talking in this text about the difference between the law and the promises received by faith, what we usually call the gospel. The law, he says, is a curse. The law is not the way that we have eternal life. The law cannot deliver on what it promises, because its promises are always conditional. It says, "Do this and you will live." But the implication is that if you don't do this, of course, you won't live, rather you'll die. The one who disobeys God's commands, who does not live up to his expectations, can't expect eternal life from him. But there is something else in the Scriptures besides law. There is the blessed promise, the gospel, that is given to us, a promise that comes from God as a free gift. And that's what Paul wants us to see. Those who rely on their works, who rely on how good they keep God's law, how all right they are before him, won't make it. They're cursed, because anyone who doesn't do everything written in the law is guilty of all of it, even if they've only broken part of it. No one can be justified. No one can be right before God by this law. Rather, as Paul quotes from Habakkuk, those who are righteous by faith will live. The law is different than faith. The law says, "Do this," but it can't make you do it. And in fact, if you don't do it, you're under that curse. But Christ Jesus was made to be the curse for us. He was given the punishment of the law in order to redeem us, to save us from this curse, and to give us a promise that is entirely free. And Paul says that this promise, of course, was given to Abraham long ago. In fact, before the law in its most concentrated form, the Ten Commandments given to Moses and to the people of Israel, long before that was given, 430 years, Paul says, Abraham received the promise that he is righteous by faith, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's just like wills and testaments in our day. Once you write that will. Once the person dies, it's finished. It's done. All that's left to do is to give out the benefits to the people who are named in it. It's too late to change it or to alter it or to annul it. That's what you do if you try and say that we need to keep the law perfectly, that we need to be holy people by our own works before God will save us. Because what he has said is that the seed, the offspring who will be born from Abraham's line, will do everything to save us. The seed, of course, is Christ, Paul says. This is the seed that would be born of the woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, the one who was born to crush the serpent's head, as was promised even before Abraham, to Adam and to Eve. And that means that we have a promise. We have a will and testament from Christ, who has died and more than that is risen for our salvation. And that means we have eternal life and salvation, not as something to earn from God by good behavior, but something that is given to us, undeservingly even, as an inheritance, a promise that is given to us. No one can overcome this by demanding that we must be holy and perfect. No, Paul anticipates an obvious question. What's the purpose of the law? God gave it, didn't he? It's good, isn't it? And of course it is. The law was added, he said, because of sin, because of transgressions. And it was, in fact, in order to show us our sins, to show us our condition of not keeping this law which God had given, which shows us all of the good things and works that we ought to be doing, but that we don't do. To show us that it is, in fact, a curse. That if you are trying to have your life by how good you are, by being good enough for God's standards, you're doomed. You'll never achieve it. Is the law contrary to these promises of God? By no means. Christ has made the curse for us, precisely because he's the one who has kept the law flawlessly without sin, and even so bore the full punishment that that law demands of us sinners who broke it. Rather, the law is given for this purpose, not to make us righteous. If there was a law that could do that, then I suppose you could be righteous by the law. Not this one, Paul says. But here's the key verse in verse 22. The scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. In other words, the law of God, which is the scripture, which is God's true word, is given to imprison us, to show us that we are caught in our sins, that we are under a curse, and that we cannot save ourselves, in order that the only hope of rescue and salvation is outside of us, comes from Jesus Christ, comes from this promise that faith simply believes and trusts. Jesus Christ has become a curse for me. He is my substitute. He's the one who gives me eternal life and salvation as a free gift and as an inheritance. And I am so thankful that he does it for me. There it is. Our salvation is by a promise, the promised Christ who has now come. Thanks be to God. May we always have a firm faith in him, even against our sins, which are many. But his righteousness surpasses it and forgives all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.